Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Hallelujah! Oh, I said hallelujah! Same as we came. Thank you for your power that is present right now in our midst. In Jesus' name. And somebody said, wow, put your hands together for the Lord. And you may please be seated. Hallelujah. Wow. We have a Bible school in Ghana, isn't it? We have some folks who are going to Bible school in a couple of weeks, just about a week or two. There's another batch in February. So I want to encourage you to go to Bible school in February. What do you think? Leroy, you should go to Bible school. What do you think? So there's another admission that is coming up for those who we want to go in February. If you are 17 years and up, are you finish road CXC or not, God can do something with your life. I said God can do something with your life. So those of you who your ears have been hard, no matter all the preaching you've been preaching, you don't want to go, you have an opportunity next year, February, to go to Bible school. Amen. You see, you don't know the use of a pastor. I was in Trinidad with Bishop Richard, went to St. Lucia. He's in Barbados right now, but I had to come home to see my sheep. I could have been with him in Barbados, enjoy the sun and enjoy the coconut water. I said, let them rest themselves. I said, please, for a time out, I gotta go. You know, our pastor in Trinidad, Pastor Kofi, he's in Antigua right now. He's starting a church in Antigua, so he's out. When Bishop Richard announced it, you come and see the people crying. Same thing happened in St. Lucia. We had a camp. At the end of the camp, Bishop announced that their pastor is also in Bahamas. He's going to live there. Everybody crying. When I come, you don't clap your hands. Okay. You want to cry? Okay. You will cry. Yeah. People are crying. People are crying. People are crying. People are crying. That is when you see the even if you want to call it a little importance of what we call a pastor. I mean, your mother can decide to go to America. You will not cry. But a stranger who has been your pastor all these years, if he says that he's going away now, your life will change forever. Many of you will not go to church again. So, you see, we don't cherish, we don't protect, we don't practically ensure that the thing that keeps us happy and keeps us together, we are taking care of it. This is Shaquille. And I arrived last night, he was trying to check with me whether I'm coming to church this morning. I said, you better come to church this morning. So he wanted to know whether I am preaching this morning. I said to my, that's not your business. You come to church. I see, just a few days since we started being together, all the guys going to Bible school, just a few days that I traveled. It's like, he's asking me whether I'm in church on Sunday. So if I'm so important to you, anything that's important, you take care of it. Yeah, people are crying. Someone said they should come and let us take a picture in St. Lucia. They didn't want to come. That's sad. Pastor going. Say, hey, pastor. Anybody who say a pastor is not important is a liar. Anybody who say a pastor is not important is a liar. You, anything you think is not important, let that thing live your life. Yeah. You see how your life will change. They talk about light and water and all of that. Of course, they are all important, but they are not important compared to your pastor. Yeah. And that's what God is, that's the position God is trying to place you at. When the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 4, that nobody take this honor unto themselves. Joshua. Unless somebody is called by God. Because it's such a beautiful place to be. So, the October group is closed. We are about to leave. But it's next year, February. It's another opportunity for those who want to go to Bible school. Now, we will not be on your case. Because it's not a cheap thing. Yeah. They will ask you, do you want to go? I think you should go. It's up to you to say yes or no. It's fine. But you see how your life will become. Many of you young boys who don't want to go to Bible school, you will not become anything in this country. Mark it somewhere. You will not become anything. I'm not cursing you. You will not become anything. At least I've been here 10 years enough to predict what become of young people, young men in this country. You are not from a rich family. You don't know anybody anywhere. What is going to become of you? Nothing. And when God is stretching forth his hand and say, come, I want to use you. You say you won't come. And sit down there. Sit down there. We are all here by the grace of God. We are all here. We will see how things will go. So, February is another opportunity for those who want to go to Bible school to take that advantage. And the ladies should go also. The ladies should go. February, October, every year, twice, have an opportunity to send people to Bible school. It's not easy. It's a lot of money and all of that. But what is money as compared to honor? Honor. When I was going to Trinidad, Granger came into the plane. I felt very sad. You see, and people wouldn't know. Their salary, they are increasing. I mean, you can argue against it, whatever. I mean, if your salary is good and you want to steal, you can steal. But it's good that we honor people in certain positions. All right? It's not good to put somebody in charge of something and then the person is paid something small. Then all he has to look around is to sign contracts and then thief. You see, so you can only hold people accountable when you give them a good amount of money and then they thief on top of that. Then it's like you need to go to jail for the rest of your life. Because you have this package, you have this. Now on top of that, you are going to steal. I mean, you have to set them up. It's not a bad thing at all. Because when I was in the plane, and then I saw Granger come into the plane with Greenwich. Nobody really noticed them, really. When we got to Piako International Airport, they went out first. By the time I got out, I saw them walking up the departure hall. They were going with the... I said, what I know, when a president comes to your country, he doesn't use the place that everybody uses. Right at the tarmac. That's when they come and meet the president. Even my brother, Reverend David in Jamaica. There was one time we're all in Ghana. We're coming. We're boarding. We're all in Ghana. We're coming back. He was driven to the plane. He was given a VIP drink. I said, why didn't you tell me? I would have come and be in the car. He was drifting from his house to the plane. And our president cannot be picked up from the plane when he gets. It's a shame. People don't understand what honor is. And no one can become a high priest simply because he wants such an honor. He has to be called by God for this work, just as Aaron. So let me know. I'm not talking about Bible school. I'm talking about tithe. But you know, I don't know why I've stayed on that. Yeah. But those who are around, some of you, we gathered you are, and then you disappeared. You will not become anything in this country before you realize you have a child mother. Before you realize another child mother, we will be here. We'll be building houses and building churches and enjoying our lives. And you come and look at us and you think that we are chopping church money. Not knowing that the honor that God has given to us, you refused it when we ask you to be part of it. You sit down and look at my face. So February, you have another opportunity. If you take it, it'll be a blessing to you. Amen. Tithe. And building the house of God is my message, short message this morning. Tithe and building the house of God. Joylene, are you there? Tithe and building the house of God. Now, two things I want to stress on before I move on. Number one is that your tithe comes from your increase. Proverbs. The Bible says that honor the Lord. You see, when you give your tithe to God, you are honoring God. Honor the Lord. When I was coming, Prince, Vodolores was also in the plane. Economy. Her head was down. Didn't want to see anybody. Brother Lawrence, that young lady who lives on Middle Road, who's become the minister for communities or social protection, former social welfare and sometime. Social protection. She lives right here on the Middle Road. She was the one when we were weeding the land over here. She stopped and said, who asked us to weed the land? Look at them. They can't weed the place. PNC people, they can't weed that land with the columns there. How much does it cost to weed this land every week? Sell it to us. You say you won't sell it to us. They said they're going to build something. So they say they want to build. They have plans for it, right? Isn't it? Man, I know who you use be, man. Man, don't bring yourself. You should tell them when you meet them. Your pastor, he talks about them. They should come and listen to my sermon.
That's it.
They'll never be the same again. Yeah, 7:30, 9:30. Double sermon. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So the first thing you should know about tithe is that tithe is not just over your monthly salary. Tithe is over your increase. Tithe is over your increase. When I say increase, anytime you get a raise is an increase. Anytime you get a raise, it is an increase. Anytime you get a raise, it is an increase. So apart from what you get on a monthly basis, your income, you are also supposed to tithe on any increase that comes into your life within the course of the month. Because the Bible didn't say, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thy salary. It would have limited what you have to tithe on. He said, the first fruit of thine increase. Tiadi, are you there? You have information? You don't have information? Okay. Of thine increase. So anytime you get money, like I was saying earlier, that let's say, you know, you are there and somebody gives you a raise. It's an increase. It is on top of what you are supposed to get at the end of the month. And it's God who made it possible, because he's a good God. He looks at you and says, you know what? This is my child. He needs some pocket money before the month is out. And he finds ways and means to bring it to you. And I said during the first service that if you don't experience those things, you should check the way you treat your money. If you don't get raises, if you don't get increases in the course of the month, if you are dry, if it's from paycheck to paycheck, if by now your money is finished and you're actually waiting, you've marked the calendar, waiting, going to Republic Bank and pressing, punching your PIN code to check your balance, whether it has come. If that is how you are living, there can be an improvement. There can be an improvement, because that is not all. God increases us all the time. When I travel, God just increases me. When I come back, God increases me. In several ways. That for security reasons I can tell you. Just in case you are following me to my house. Because some people do that. Yeah. Number two. Many people do not see their way when they pay tithe, because they don't pay one-tenth. They do not give one-tenth. They give just anything. As long as it is an envelope, as long as nobody sees it, it's a tithe. The tithe is 1/10 times the money you are receiving. So if you receive $100,000 at the end of the month, it is 1/10 times 100,000. If you don't know how to calculate, you ask us. We'll teach you. How to find percentages. It's part of fraction. Decimals, significant figures, we can teach you that one. It's easy, I can teach you. It's not only pastoring I pastor. It's not only preaching I preach. I can also teach you fractions and decimal places and significant figures and all of that. So 1/10 over 100,000 is 10,000. Now, if it is 1/10 over 87,750, then just make it 88. Because if you round it down, God will also round your blessings down. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also. If you round it up, God will say, what? Oh, I will top you up also. The measure you meet is that same measure that comes back to you. So note these two things. Number one, a tithe is over all your increase. We forget. You get a little 2,000 here, a little 5,000 here. You forget to tithe. But at the end of the month, if you put the 2,000, the 3,000, 4,000, you put it together, it's almost somebody's salary at the end of the month. And God is the one who generously increases us. You want to tell him that it is your strength that got you what you received? And number two, please calculate it properly. Because sometimes when I say, I want to check, okay, let's say, for example, I want to see Brother Brian's tithe. Sometimes one of the things I discover is that you see that January, he paid, let's say, $4,000. February, he paid $2,000. March, $1,000. So you begin to wonder, why 4, 2, and 1? I thought people are paid a fixed salary. Why is it going down? It means that the person doesn't understand what 1/10 is. It can only be at a certain ceiling. It can only go up. It can't come down. Because you will not take a salary that is lower than what they have promised to give you. You will not take it. So why should you bring to God? You see, that's why many of us don't prosper. Even though we say we pay tithe. Your tithe is not 1/10. And it's not consistent. If your salary is 80,000, it's 8,000 every month. It cannot go below 8,000. Once you go below 8,000, it means you're a thief. It can go above 8,000. If it's also 8,000 the whole year, you are not truthful. You are lying. It's a lie. Because there were small increase that came, which you did not acknowledge God in. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Some of you say, I'm a student. And so what? Student, you spend money. Yeah. You go and see students ordering a pizza and ordering this, churches and all kinds of things. Every day, DQ, Brewsters, all kinds of things. And they say, I'm a student, I don't have money. Okay, you sit down. God will sleep and slumber over your life. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Tithing and building the house of God. When you pay tithe, what you're doing is that you are helping to build the house of God. Are you paying attention? Sometimes you can be in church and you don't hear anything I say. Be careful. You must have just stayed home and sleep. So pay attention. If you're at the back, wherever, just make sure that your eyes are fixed on me. Okay? And then your ears are attentive to what God is saying. When you pay tithe, it means that you are helping to build the church of God. You are helping to build God's house. And there's nobody who helps to build the house of God Almighty that will ever be forgotten. I said during the first service that, you see, when you help somebody to build their house, you even learn how to build a house. Because many of you don't know the cost of cement. Because your face alone, the cost of your face you put up to come to church is a one bag of cement. Somebody said 3 bags of cement. Your shoes alone can buy 5 bags of cement. $10,000. 5 bags. Blocks, $80. 8 inches, 6 inches, you can get some for $80, $75. A truckload of sand. 10,000, 8,000, 12,000. Depending on how what you want. So really, building a house is not something that is far from our reach. Except that a certain power, a certain favor has not come upon us to lead us on that way. And the moment we pay tithe and as we help God build his church, think about it. If we didn't have this building, the church will be different. I can tell you, when you go to other countries, people are renting halls that this is so bigger than. They pay $1,500 a month for just 2 hours. 2 hours on a Sunday, 2 hours on a Tuesday, and maybe 2 hours on a Friday or something. $1,000 plus a month. Will we come here for free? If this was not built, if God did not house you and I, even your stability will be affected. Your stability will be affected. Your growth will be affected because you don't have the place to stay. Look at the homeless people. Once you're homeless, there's nothing about you that anybody will take serious. A church that is homeless, this week you are here, next month you are moving here, 2 months later they've moved you. Look at you, even you as an individual. If they move you, if your landlord fights with you and they move you and they eject you and they evict you out of the house like that, your life, instead of going to work, the morning you are studying where you are going to put your things. You have to call into your boss and say, you know, I can't come, you know, to work today because, you know, something has come up. Nothing has come up. It's your child mother who has thrown your things out of the house. So once we help to build the church, the house of God, there are things that also work in our favor. I said there are also things that work in our favor. Tithing and building the house of the Lord. Now, let's go to Haggai, the prophet Haggai, chapter 1. The book of the prophet Haggai. Chapter 1. Where we want to read from verse 1. The first point I want you to take note of is that God objects to you building your house and living in it and enjoying when his house is not built. Are you paying attention? The first point I want you to take note of in tithing and building the house of God is that God objects to the fact that you should have your house staying it comfortable. Meanwhile, his church, there's no building for the church of God. Why do you think that the first thing we as a church didn't do was to buy a house for me? The church can buy a house for me. Whether it's Guyanese money or foreign money, the church, Lighthouse Chapel International, can buy a house for me. Bishop could have said, you know what, we want Pastor Collins to be comfortable so he can do the church work. Let's buy a house for him so that, I have moved about 7 times in my 10 years in Guyana. You have not moved even once. Why shouldn't Lighthouse Chapel International buy a house for me rather? Because if I'm stable, at least I can do the church of God, work of God better. No. Our principle is to ensure that there's a building for the people. The church. I can rest myself. If they move me, I can sleep under a tree. It's okay. I don't mind. I can sleep in my car. I have a bathroom in my car. I can bath in my car. Have you seen a car like that before? I bath in my car. The church invested $100,000 in buying a property. Because that is how the church of God must be treated. The church must be built. God objects. God hates. God dislikes you sitting in your nice house. And there's no church for people to, there's no building for people to go into a place to worship him. God rejects and he objects to that. Listen to what the Bible says. In the second year of Darius, the king, in the 6th month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Joshedek, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, these people say, you see, the Lord of hosts, host is like a group, multitudes of people. And the Lord, the greater or the big man among them, is God. That's what the title is, the Lord of hosts. The time is not come. These people say, the time is not come. The time that the Lord's house should be built. They are saying our house first. Let me get a house lot. When I get me house lot, I build me house. Then we go give, we see if you have some money over to give to the church. We are citizens of a country who don't understand the rules and the regulations of that particular country. We are Christians. We live in the kingdom of God, but we don't know the rules that work in the kingdom of God. The people are saying, Prince, they say, this time is not, the time is not come. The time that the Lord's house should be built. They said, no, this is not the time. This is a time for reshaping our economy. This is a time to be a campaigner, a politician. I should go and campaign for APN because we want to change. This is not the time to build the house of the Lord. It's a time for marrying, the time for marriage, a time for children, a time for school, a time for this, a time for that. This is not the time to build the church of God. Winchester, is it working? Verse 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet saying, you see, you guys, the little weeding you went to weed, you don't even know what it is. You don't have an idea what it means. Castello, you don't have an idea. The little bee that stings you, you don't even have an idea what it means. Many of you didn't know what was here before. The darkness. The mulliganity. The disorder. And many of the things that are here, we brought it. We put it in. There was no light. There was no, they were thieving light. Yeah, when we came here, they were thieving light. Yeah, so for the few weeks that we had to apply for light, we also had to continue thieving light. You see, you don't know the history of the church. And anytime we have chairs, I was praying that we will not have Kaitio news reporters. Pastor TV lights for the church. The chairs you are sitting on, it may not be nice. But we brought them in from Canada. We bought them in Canada. We shipped them to Guyana. Because we used to have plastic chairs. Anytime people fall down, plastic chair break. And you know, in our church, people fall down a lot. After every service, 4 chairs are broken. And it's very difficult for me to say, please pay for the chair. So I realized that the chairs were finishing. So I decided to look somewhere. Canadian dollars we paid for this. We brought it into the WAF. I was at the WAF packing these chairs into a truck. When the things came here, we took them. Where were you? Sitting on it, putting your legs on it. Have you been to Canada before? Putting gum on it. The time has not come to build a church of God. Is that what you're saying? It's not time. The time has come for you to do what is important to you, but not the church of God. And therefore, you are withholding your tithe and your offerings. Let's go. Is it time for you, oh you, to dwell in your sealed houses? And this house, the house of God, lie in waste?
we keep our monies for ourselves. We don't care what happens to the church. We don't care what happens to the anybody else. Now, therefore, thus said the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Look at your life. Your so-called shiny life. Look at it. You have sown much, but you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. This is what the Jehovah's Witness they use and say, drink but don't get drunk. They are taking the whole thing out of context. There's so much of a curse upon God's people that when they drink alcohol, they even don't get drunk. Maybe you want to give us some nice English so them people can understand. Because when you say, you drink and you don't, you have planted much but harvested little. Who wants to plant much and harvest little? Who will be happy to plant much and harvest little? You have food to eat but not enough to fill you up. You have wine to drink but not enough to satisfy your thirst. You have clothing to wear but not enough to keep you warm. That's why some of your body parts are showing because the clothes is not enough for your body. Your wages, your salary, it disappears as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. Do you know the Bible? Many of us don't know the Bible. That's why our lives are the way they are. Your salary. It's like when you draw your salary, it's like you're putting it into a pocket of holes. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Consider how things are going for you. Consider. If you be honest with yourself, consider how things are going. Consider how things are going for you. Whether they're going well or not. Hitler, consider how things are going for you. How are they going? Be honest with yourself. Janet Rollins, be honest with yourself. How are things going for you? To consider. Consider. Yeah, consider. Now go up into the hills. Bring down timber and rebuild my house. Then, somebody say then. Yeah. Somebody shout then. I, God, will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. Because if God is not going to be honored, none of us will be honored also. What does he say in 9? You hoped for rich harvest, but they were poor. And when you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. It's not Satan, no. It's God who blew it away. Treasure, consider things. How the things you go through is not normal. It's not normal. It's not Satan. God said, when you brought in your harvest, I got. You don't want God to blow your harvest away. He said, why? You want to know why? Anybody wants to know why, Castello? He said, because my house, God's house, lies in ruins.
says the Lord Almighty. While you are all, busy with building your own fine, fancy houses and lives. I don't have to preach. Reading the scriptures alone is enough. Anita Gordon, reading the scriptures alone. I don't have to preach. I'm blessed by reading the scriptures. God said, he'll blow it away. No, Satan. You go to Brazilian church, go to Portuguese church, go to Jamaican church, go to Colombian church, go to Uruguayan church. You can go to all them churches. You will Venezuelan church. You can go for pastors to pray over oil for you. You can drink the oil. You can insert the oil. You can do all kinds of things. God will blow away your harvest. Let's see if a pastor has the power to help you to maintain your harvest when God is blowing it away. And that's what happens. And then when we realize that there's nothing happening in the church, then somebody says, I can take you to Suriname. I know somebody in Suriname. I said, well, there's no harm in trying. You let's give it. Better try than do nothing. Try and fail than don't do. If you say, I prefer to try. And they take you to Suriname. More breeze. And God increases the wind power. It blows away. Sometimes God will wait as if Suriname is working. And then he'll come with some big wind and then blow the whole thing away. The scriptures alone. Why is God? God is saying, why do you think things are not working for you? Why? He's so kind. He's actually telling us why. He will say, you know what? Go find out. We ain't got time for teaching. Go, you go find out. But he says what? He said, because my house, the church of God, that's why we are collecting money to buy lands and buy buildings and training pastors to come in. That's what God wants. God wants his things to be built. Yeah. We say, pay tithe. Give offerings. So you have a lot of expenses, so you don't want to pay tithe. Who doesn't have expenses? Is there any human being here on earth who doesn't have expenses? Apart from being a thief, apart from having a curse upon your life, there's a mighty wind blowing in your life that you don't have an idea about. Yeah, all across your life. That is why the heavens have kept dew, have withheld dew, and the earth has withheld its crops. There's no showers of blessing falling on you. The Bible said that out of you shall till, out of the sweat of thy face shall you eat from this earth. The earth shall become hard for you. The earth is not yielding at all. You are working and you are not seeing your way. People are helping you and you are not seeing your way. You try to do some business and it doesn't work. Something happens and thieves come in and they take it. I was saying a while ago about a businessman who says he doesn't believe in tithing. The other day I saw a news about him in the newspapers. His shop has been robbed. And you know what I found more interesting? Was that the reporter said this seems to be happening frequently to this businessman. This is a businessman who has said, he goes to First Assemblies. He said he does not believe in tithe. He believes in giving. He doesn't believe in tithe. Somebody asked one of a businessman, a rich man, to help me pay for the radio, my radio ministry. He said he doesn't believe in that. He'd rather feed the poor. He's judged already. He's already judged. Businessman, you trying to look for money and you say you don't believe in tithing?
Something wrong. Something seriously wrong. Seriously wrong.
I said, the news reporter said that this man has been going through this thing. If I mention the shop and the name, you know what I'm talking about. That is why the heavens are not releasing any rain upon you. And as a human being and as a tree, God talks about us as trees. If as a tree, you don't get rain. People can read your hands.
You can look at your hands and read your hands and say, Your grandmother, your grandmother, your grandmother. Yeah. Grandmother?
You fast and pray. Go to deliverances. Every week, deliverance. God has decided to fight you himself. The earth has withheld its crops. God objects to you prosper and doing good. You are building your house and there's something in the house of the Lord. Look at many of us. To me, it's a very serious case. When look at all the girls that are in the church. Hardly do you see girls coming to this church to sweep on a Saturday afternoon. It's so sad. A lot of young ladies, none of you think about coming to sweep here on a Saturday. That's why you will not get a husband. They will sleep with you but left, right, and center. They will marry you. You see, when you do those things, Tricia, that God turns his back on you. Now, when God turns his back on you, what happens to you? Janet, I saw somebody's face in the newspaper. You saw it too. I wasn't surprised. I wasn't surprised at all. Because this world and in this life, you have to be humble and serve God. Otherwise, something waiting for you at the corner there. And when it happens to you, it's not nice, but it has happened. Hardly do we see any young lady, all of you who have painted your fake nails with wigs that don't fit your face and your hair shape. I hardly see you come here on a Saturday, come to sweep the church. Your hairstyle is not nice. It doesn't fit your face. The color of the hair doesn't fit your face. You should rather buy a German hair than the Brazilian hair you are using. Very serious. You are rather interested in boys. Interested in boys without hope and without the future. You hardly think about the church of God. You come here with your nice face, but you are a tigress. Yeah? Those of you little girls in the dancing group and all of that. How many of you come here? I'm sure some of you come here for boys. Very, very sure. Very sure. Castello. People like Castello. Bad, bad, bad. Stand up, Castello. He's a regular boy. Yeah? people like Castell, I don't know why. We know where he got, man. The guy is it's anointing. You know, yeah. Somebody has a picture on Facebook.
and she posed like that. And she has on a picture, Castello own. Hey! Share. I don't know how many of you guys have somebody's own, somebody has a picture on Facebook saying they are your own. Share. Stacy, I don't see your picture on Facebook saying it sounds old. Hey, Charlie Hema, I don't see a picture of you on Facebook saying Brian's old. Yeah, somebody said it's Akil's own. Hey, No, you consider it. How many of you come here to sweep? It's like you are bigger than sweeping. Even your own homes, you don't sweep. And the mistake is that you are considering your 10 by 14 house. You are thinking that it's the same thing as the church. You can refuse to sweep at home. Mommy will shout and holler and probably give you legs. But if you refuse to sweep here, it's the heavens, the earth. You take a cutlass or hoe or something, you try to dig the earth. It's like you are hitting a rock. And it's just where you are. Others are soft. They are just digging. They are planting. And it's bringing for you alone, the earth that you have. It's like a rock before you. I'm showing you something. Young ladies, plenty young ladies. We struggle to have our washroom clean. We struggle to have our church clean. We struggle to have things done in the church. Young ladies, what is your future? Who are you going to marry? How are you going to keep a home? How are you going to handle a man? Hey, oh, you think that the man should come and clean and wash and cook? Junior Luke? The man should come and wash and cook and clean for you. Take your thing. I'll park my car somewhere else. Yeah, I'll take a new garage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll park the car somewhere else. Take your garage. Think about it. Because we are not interested in building the house of God, God is also not interested. In fact, not only is he not interested in us, he's turned his back and he's causing a lot of things to happen to us. He's blowing things out of our lives. See? He said, why? And the answer said, because my house. It's sad that the church of God doesn't have money. It's true. I mean, if the church of God has money, we'll be able to do a lot of things. A lot of things. Now, when we are doing things, we are considering, how much is it? No. It's too expensive. Because the money is not there, so you have to count your pennies. Because you don't pay tithe. You don't give offering. Nothing. Can you imagine? As we are all here, I don't know how many hundreds, maybe 100 and something we have here. Do you know how many people are going to give offering when I ask for second offering? You'd be surprised. Maybe less than half will give an offering. Yeah. Oh, it's true. If you like, we can count. We can say, if you have an offering you want to give, stand. We can count. You see the difference. So when people come like this, oh, you don't have an idea how people are selfish. And people want to withhold their sword from shedding blood. I don't know whether there's another verse again. Haggai chapter 1. Please go home and read it. Hey. What does verse 11 say? I have called for a drought on your fields. God has ordered. He has called the phone number. He said, you know what? That brother's fields. No water. A drought to wither the grain and grapes and olives.
and all your other crops. A drought to starve both you and your cattle. Melissa, to starve you and your cattle and to ruin everything you have worked so hard to get.
You don't understand why when things happen to you. We have, there's a case. One of our church members working in a company. There was a day when they were putting money together to pay their business partners. So it was thousands of US dollars, millions of Guyanese dollars. On that day, two small boys entered into the shop, pulled a gun, emptied everything. When they were leaving, they told the people, "Oh, don't worry, it's boss man money. Don't worry." That's what they told their workers. "That's why you are worrying. It's for the boss man, man." The boss man, he's going mad. He's taking the employees to the police station. He says that it is them who have staged the robbery. The man is catching fever. Because not the money that these guys came for, it's not for him. It's for the people who are doing business with him. So he has to pay them. Now he has to find the money and pay the people, because he can't tell the people, "I won't pay you because what?" So he is double trouble. Finding money to pay them, and then now you owe wherever you went for the money. You owe them that amount of money. I'm talking about thousands of US dollars and Guyanese dollars. Some two simple boys come in and they just take it away. God said he will starve both you and your business. You go bankrupt. If your business is not working, think about it. The thing that you have worked so hard to get, God is after those things. You hear stories. "Oh, this person had this, had that, and today they don't have anything." It's a drought from heaven over that person's life. Let's see what 12 is saying as we close. Okay. I'm done. Stand to your feet, please. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Every eye closed, every head bowed. You are here today, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Go and say, "Pastor, please pray with me. I'm not saved. I'm not born again. I want to give my heart to Jesus." If you're here like that, I want you to lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. "Pastor, I don't want to go to hell when I die. Please pray with me. I want to be born again. I want to be saved. I want Jesus to come into my heart." If you're here like that, I want to pray with you. Just lift up your right hand wherever you are. God bless you. God bless you. If you lifted up your right hand, I want to ask you to come to me. I want to pray for you. Come. Leave your seat and come to me. Come. Clap for them as they come. 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 God bless you. 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 You want to come? Come quickly. Come. Join them. God bless you. "Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus." God bless you. God bless you. Come. You want to join them? It's not too late. Come. It's not too late. Come. It's not too late. Come. Give your heart to Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus. God bless you. Clap for him as he comes. Clap. Clap for him as he comes. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. All right. It takes a simple prayer. Just as when you go, have you seen weddings before? When you go to the church and they are blessing a marriage, you have to say something to one another, right? Before they bless. Isn't that how they do weddings? In a similar way, when you come to God, you have to speak to him. And then he will hear what you're saying. So we're going to pray a prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer. You say it after me and your life will be changed forever. Do you believe it? Amen. So close your eyes with me, church. Join us as we pray together. Say with me, "Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins.
Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe God raised him from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. I open my heart and I invite Jesus Christ to come and live in my heart, to be my master and my savior. Thank you, Father, that from today, I have been saved from hell. I am born again, and my name is written in the book of life. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you put your hands together for them? Wow.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.